What were you going to say when we tried to start recording the last time?
I believe I was talking about whale masturbation.
Oh, yeah. You saw a whale masturbate at an aquarium once.
The Vancouver Aquarium in British Columbia.
How old were you? What kind of whale was it?
I was an adult. I don't know what kind of whale it was.
I saw a beluga whale with a boner. And I got to say...
Gross, right?
It's about the size of the whale. If I remember, because I don't have aphantasia, if I remember correctly... it looks like another beluga whale.
Maybe you weren't looking. Maybe it was giving birth. You sure it was a boy?
I'm pretty sure it was a boy. It was pretty scarring because my mom was with me. It was like watching a TV show where, and all of a sudden, like there's a sex scene and your parents are in the room and it's just that cringy, uncomfortable thing. Except it's a gigantic whale penis. Welcome to Subscurity, the podcast about obscure subcultures. I'm Brenna.
And I'm Jordan. And today we're talking about Yella's Marble Runs. When you were a kid, did you ever play with marbles or try to make like marble machines and, you know what I mean? Like having marbles run down like paper towel tubes and all that?
I mean, I never got that intense. Yes, I had marbles. I think I did have some sort of... board game of sorts that did have...
You think a mouse trap?
Maybe.
Because there's definitely like a marble that runs as part of like the Rube Goldberg device in Mousetrap.
Yeah, there was another one. I think it had marbles in it. It was like this big, long, clear cylinder. And in the middle, it had all these holes. And you put sticks in the holes, like a bunch of sticks. And then you dump in the marbles... And then you start to remove the sticks, like back and forth. It alternates between the people. And your goal is to not release, or to release as few marbles as possible.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that. It's kind of like a marble Jenga.
Kind of, exactly. Yeah. It's a really good metaphor for it.
Thank you.
That's about it.
Did you enjoy it as a kid, though? Like, was it just something you never had marbles to play with? Or was it something you're just like, this is... I'm not as into marbles as other people might be.
Well, are other people into marbles?
Oh, Brenna, are they?
I mean, I remember really liking that Jenga-ish game with the sticks and the marbles. But when I just had marbles, I mean, you have to remember, I was an only child who lived in the woods. So,
sure.
I mean, it was some form of entertainment. But would I say I thoroughly enjoyed it or looked forward to it? No, it was just a way to kill the boredom.
Yeah, and what I'm talking about specifically is, like, you know what I mean, though? Like, the, I guess Rube Goldberg is the right word, but, like, setting up a track for your marbles to go down, right?
Yeah,
as opposed to the other way people play marbles, which is, like, an actual game where it's, like, you're shooting a shooter marble into a circle of marbles and trying to, like, knock out. It's almost like pool with marbles.
Well, I always thought that was the only way to play marbles, and I know you did not watch Squid Game, but...
I watched a little Squid Game, but probably not long enough to recognize your reference.
Right, but here's one pop culture reference for Brenna, 0 points for Jordan. one of the games they play is a game of marbles, but... the contestants get to choose which game of marbles they play. And,
oh God,
it's been a little while since I've watched it, but I remember two people, they break up 21 marbles, or they each get 10 marbles or 20 marbles or something. You take them out in your hand and you guess if the other person has an even or odd amount.
Oh, it's kind of like Liar's Dice, but with marble.
Exactly. Yeah. And there were a couple other ones. So I didn't know there. I always thought, the only way to play marbles correctly was kind of like that pool thing that you're describing.
Yeah.
But apparently there are lots of other variations, which makes sense.
Yeah, I did not know that. This is all just an elaborate joke to say you lost your marbles, by the way.
Nope.
No, it's not. But what it is, is to talk about something called Marble Runs, which is a YouTube phenomenon for a small amount of people, but a phenomenon nonetheless. And that's kind of blown up in popularity since COVID, especially.
Is this literally what you're describing? People taking shit from around the house and making the most elaborate kind of pathway to... like roll a marble down and like, is it something like at the end it hits a pot or it rolls something over? There's kind of this end result. What's the word? Pinnacle, I guess.
No. So you can find those videos on YouTube. and they are enjoyable, actually. People make some hilariously complicated contraptions, like to the point where I remember as a kid having paper towel tubes, toilet paper tubes, and making like tracks like taped to the walls of my like bedroom and like running along the walls, right? And now I look at what these people are doing as adults. I'm like, yeah, I mean, that could have been me if I had not given up the game when I was 9.
It could have been.
But no, that is not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about, and the most popular version of this, the well-known version, is something called Yella's Marble Runs. It's, I think I'm pronouncing Yella right. It's J-E-L-L-E. It's a Dutch name.
Oh.
It's
in which case, no, you're not pronouncing it
probably not. I apologize to our friends in the Netherlands, but... It's a YouTube channel run by two brothers, Yella and Dion Bakker. Again, I'm
Bakker.
Sorry. Bakker. Thank you.
I don't know. I just like correcting you.
I've got nipples, Greg.
Can you milk me?
That was a Fokker joke. So what it is, what they do is they take marbles and they create races out of these marbles. So think of like Olympic game marble racing, Formula One marble racing, different kinds of sporting events where they essentially take a dozen or however many marbles and put them in like a filmed competition to see which one will get to the end of the track fastest.
Like, is it like a horse race but with marbles, and you're just, are you rolling it down an equally playing
exactly.
field?
Exactly. Yeah, so that's one of the events. Yes, but
there
that's
are multiple
like,
events. How many ways can you race a marble?
There are many. I will get to them, but yeah, I mean, that's probably the most like common way to think about it is have a track. And all the marbles get released at the same time. Your red, your blue, your green, your yellow, etc. And the camera will pan and follow them as they race down the track to see which marble ends up finishing first, second, third, etc. What is very clever, assuming you find interest in this, but what's clever about this is they treat it with a complete level of sincerity, as in they act as if the marbles themselves are athletes. So they will talk
beings.
Yeah, when I say they, I mean there is literally a color commentary. Greg Woods is the English color commentator, although there are different color commentators, I believe, for other languages.
What?
who will discuss the tactics, the training, the psychology it takes for these marbles to compete, and the fans will in turn participate. And Wikipedia describes it as an elaborate kayfabe, which is a word I learned, but it's basically...
Are you saying it correctly?
Probably not, but kayfabe, K-A-Y-F-A-B-E, it's a word that describes how people engage in something performative as if it's not a performance. And so like the classic...
acting?
Wrestling. So like when you watch WWE, mm-hmm. WWF, whatever the three-letter acronyms they use today are, right? You know it's like, you know at some level it's staged, it's a right. performance, it's false, but you act like it's not, both as a fan and as a participant in it, right?
Right.
And that kind of is what, that's called kayfabe. It's this idea that you're acting as if the illusion is real, and that's what makes the experience enjoyable.
Like role-playing?
Yeah, I guess so. But it's like, it's the act of communally doing this, right? So again, wrestling is the classic example. Like if you go
LARPing.
LARPing maybe, but LARPing is, I guess, less predetermined, right? LARPing is like you're part of the action of it, right? Theoretically, you're dressing up, you're a combatant or whatever. At a wrestling tournament, you are watching a staged competition, but acting like it's not staged, right?
Right. No, I get what you're saying. I'm just trying to draw some metaphors. I don't need you to continuously correct
me. Let me mansplain this more to you.
But no, I mean, it kind of makes sense because I can see that being really fun, like especially during COVID, if say someone really likes performing or acting, obviously COVID stripped that away from a lot of people. And it's kind of this outlet to be entertaining and get really engrossed into something kind of silly and act like it's really serious. I don't know. I'm kind of on board with it. I'm a little intrigued because it sounds fun.
It is really fun. It's one of those things, like I've watched it a couple times over the last year or so, and generally I would put it on just as kind of background watching, because these are, they're long videos.
Like, you would actually just put it on, like, nothing to do with this podcast. You would just watch it,
yes,
for your own entertainment.
Well, because it, like, again, background watching, right? Like watching The Office for the 100th time and just like, not, maybe not necessarily fully focused on it, but, yeah, but like a 5-minute video that is a race of various marbles and listening to this man named Greg Woods give like perfect ASMR commentary as the marble. Oh, he's making a strong turn around this bend. Right? Oh, Poco Loco has taken over. We'll see how long he can hold the lead. Like that kind of commentary,
yeah,
right?
Really, really in depth. And yeah, really, yeah.
It's really enjoyable. And it just says, again, I don't get into the point of focusing on it and time, like spending time in the community, as some people will discuss too. But it is really fun, and it's fun in a stupid but enjoyable way.
Yeah, it honestly sounds really fun.
I think it is, and we are not alone in thinking that. As of October of this year, the channel has 1.35 million subscribers.
Holy shit!
Yeah, with more than 136 million views, and that number has been increasing steadily. Mostly because of the impact of COVID-19 on professional sports. Like, and I think as we look at this year, sports have kind of returned, at least domestic American sports have returned for the most part. But last year, things were a little more dicey. Some leagues didn't play. Some leagues played very strangely. You couldn't go attend games, right? Yeah. And this has given people a pretty fun outlet. So the Marble League, which has been, it's gone through a couple names, Marble Olympics and Marble Olympics. Actually,
Marble Olympics.
Marble Olympics, yeah. they have a full, like, it is an actual Olympic-style ceremony. So there are opening and closing ceremonies using stop-motion photography. As they have outdoor races often in the sand or the snow, they will do landscape shots to, like, set the setting and discuss, you know, the conditions of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, can you tell me more about the events? You'll probably get into it, but I'm just really curious, like, how a marble can self-sustain it, can sustain itself that on a course that isn't exclusively downhill, and how much variation you can really introduce for a self-perpetuated marble race.
I can definitely tell you those. So marble events. So there's three main ones. The first is Marble League, which, like I said, was formerly called Marble Olympics. This is an annual series, so it happens unlike the real Olympics, which are every 2 to 4 years, depending on how you define it. This one happens every year, but the marbles compete in Olympics-inspired events. So there are 16 teams, and yes, they have to go through pre-qualifiers to make it to the Marble League. But if, assuming they pass all their qualifying heats, there are 16 teams that will compete against each other in multiple events. These events include hurdle, long jump, and funnel endurance.
What? So, is that like there's a giant funnel,
yep,
and you throw it down and like which one like is going to last the longest
Exactly. So like, wow, you know, because you've seen those like marble
in like a science museum or
right,
something, those
exactly,
giant ones, and you throw a penny or something and you watch it spin for what feels like eternity and then it finally drops.
Yeah, and if you've seen like people who build these marble tracks, right? That you can buy plastic kits that have built-in marble tracks and those tracks often include a funnel. So the marble will go down a track into a funnel, I don't know, 10, 20 times the size of the marble, and then just spin around before it drops down a tube into the next set of tracks or funnel or whatever it is. So yes, for the funnel endurance, the point is to see how long the marble can stay up. And often, I don't know specific, like I've seen it both ways and I don't know what the current standard is, but I think sometimes they will do it as a simultaneous event, and so, which means you can get jostled.
Oh,
you, I'm gonna personify these as much as they do, but you can get jostled.
What does that mean?
As in like the marbles will bump into each other.
Oh,
which,
shit.
Which can cause certain people to, or certain marbles to get stuck down the funnel faster.
Yep. And I bet the color commentary really explodes at that moment.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I believe that's accurate. And I think they also might do it the other way where it's literally just one-on-one timed competitions. Right. The other events that I mentioned, so hurdles, you can imagine a initial downhill on a track that then has a kind of a flat path that has rolling hills. And so the marble needs to go over those hills, as many hills as it can. The further it goes on those rolling hills, the more points it earns. And so, and I believe that one is also one where they go simultaneously. So again, okay, some marbles may end up only being able to clear one or two hurdles, as you know, because they trip over themselves.
Yeah.
While other ones make it all the way to the end of the track. And I don't know if there's a tiebreaker in terms of who gets there first or not, but I think there is some degree of like assigning points along those lines. And then the other event, long jump, is essentially what it sounds like. So you have a downhill followed by a slight ramp. And then is how far that marble makes it measured to the centimeter to see which one gets the furthest distance and is awarded points for that.
So do people, like, if they make it through the qualification rounds, do they have to use the same marble, or can they introduce any marble that they want at any point in time?
So let me clarify. There is nobody manning these marbles. It is just the brothers. It's just Yella and Yella and Dion. They control this. So as your involvement is purely a spectator.
So I thought this. Okay. All yeah. right. Okay. Wow.
So, and I mean, the production values are insane. Like, it looks like NBC is hosting this, because they will have like on-screen graphics that show heat qualifying times, current standings. Like I said, they'll have the kind of like setting the stage footage that has the environment, full track distance. They'll have zoom cameras that are positioned at the finish line so they can see as they finish and slow motion and all that. So, but it's, yes, they control. I mean, by control, I mean they'll release the gate that lets all the marbles out or whatever. But
that's amazing.
Yeah, so it's completely handled by them. The commentator, Greg Woods, he wasn't even originally part of it. What happened was they were just uploading these videos mostly for their own enjoyment. And Greg Woods got really into it. And so he started, like, on his own and color commentating on the video in a separate video.
Yeah.
And the brothers loved it so much, they asked him to kind of become the official, again, English language color commentator.
That's amazing. So do they... Sorry, I just have so many questions. Yeah. Like, what are their full-time jobs? Like, are they engineers? Did they design their own, like, racetracks? I want to know a little bit more, because it sounds like a fairly intensive hobby.
Yeah, so I don't think... My understanding is Yella does not have a job. I don't know about his brother, but he was the one who, I think, originally created his brother, has since joined. But he doesn't have a job. He describes himself as having a form of autism, and... because of, like, between the fact that he has no job and autism, he fell into making marble machines as a hobby and way to kind of keep himself occupied. Mm-hmm. And in 2006, he created his first videos, again, just for his own enjoyment, I think. And it just kind of started building up in popularity over time. In 2009, he actually received the Guinness World Record for the longest marble run.
Okay.
And so, like, so he's been, like, experimenting, but, like, what has solidified, what has become the channel's, like, core features are the events. So the Marble League, which we've now talked about. The second one is Marble Rally, which is a series of off-road marble races, like road rally races.
What?
In this, each individual marble races against the others down a rough terrain course, usually made out of sand, that the brothers have mainly constructed. They'll feature a variety of obstacles that impede the competing marbles on their way to the finish line. They use bigger marbles for this than they do for Marble League. These are the big, rough and tough off-road marbles. Yeah. And like, just a random comment here that just kind of shows you the full scope of this. Quoting Wikipedia here, starting from the 2017 edition, top ranked marbles automatically qualify for the next year's Marble Rally Championship.
So, that's amazing.
So yeah, these things, like, I mean, they're keeping this annual, like,
tradition
and annual documentation, and their fans certainly are following this so they can prepare every single year for these events.
So it's only on an annual basis, like, it's not kind of a one-off when they feel like it? Is it I guess if it's like the Olympics, it really is.
So these are the major events. So that, okay. So the first one was Marble League. That was the Olympics. This is Marble Rally. I think this is a series that does take place over the year, although the ultimate winners then qualify.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't really know how everyone else qualifies to get in for the next season. But so this one is more seasonal, just like a rally race would be. Yeah. And similarly, the third major event category is Marbula One. As you can imagine, this is a series of circuit-based marble races. The marbles race around multiple laps of a racetrack made of, this is like the actual, when you think of marble tracks, the big the plastic ones that you can buy in stores,
okay.
Right? They make an actual custom racetrack, and they have conveyor belts that will, once you get to the bottom, it'll automatically lift the marbles back up and just start the track over, right? So this is, so you can get multiple circuits per race.
Yeah.
This one is clearly inspired by Formula One.
you don't say.
Yeah. Each race is referred to as a Grand Prix and includes a qualifying session to determine who will qualify for the main race event, as well as where their starting position will be within that race. There are also, beyond those three core events, they do have random tournaments. One year they did a sponsored one in the United Kingdom, or based out of the United Kingdom, for a brand of milk, and all the marble teams there were dairy based. they go all in on this, and when it, like, I, it's hard to describe this without showing it in person. I regularly recommend people look this up on YouTube.
I can imagine it, believe it or not. I can visualize it.
But it goes beyond just the kind of just the race itself. Like in the marble, I've already forget the
Marbula One.
In the Marble League, the Marble League. Olympics.
Sorry.
It's hard to keep keeping track here. But in the Marble Olympics, aka Marble League, they actually will have stands built out of Legos where they have hundreds of small little marbles watching to cheer on the other marbles that are there. And again, because I haven't even got to this yet, but these marbles have personas. Mm. They will be holding up signs for like their team names and stuff.
That's so cute.
It's pretty amazing. I mentioned they have kind of one-off or random tournaments. There's also really nice in this, for this time of year especially, they have themed tournaments around the holidays. So last year there was a Christmas snow race in Switzerland where it was...
Did they go on site? Did they actually travel?
It says it's in Switzerland. I didn't check the YouTube metadata for like where the video's geolocation was, but it says it's in Switzerland and it is a downhill snowy track. You can imagine kind of like a marble version of a luge or bobsled, kind of half pipe, quarter pipe, whatever that is.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. And they race down that in the spirit of the holidays.
Love it.
So like I said, the each marble has its own background or marble/marble team, depending on the type of event.
Yeah.
For example, one I found, and I've decided to become a personal fan of, I'll be standing them going forward. Uh-huh. Pollo Loco.
Pollo Loco.
They are a yellow marble with brown and green stripes. They compete in Marble Rally. They come from Poyota in South America. In the 2020 Marble Rally press release, Pollo Loco said this, quote, I realized after I failed to qualify in 2018 that I needed to make some changes in my life and decided to go vegan. While I miss eating chicken, I feel more confident about my nutrition and more appreciative of the world we live in. It has also allowed me to slim down and become more nimble while racing, which helped me in race 6 last year.
That's adorable.
Isn't it?
I mean, I feel like every layer you reveal just shows how much time and energy must go into this.
Yeah, it's a lot, and it's clearly a labor of love. One event I was watching earlier today I was researching before I came over here was a push event. This was part of Marble League, the Olympic style version. So essentially it's almost like a bobsled. So a team of four marbles, or competing against every other team of four marbles. We'll go down a track together, and at the bottom of the track is like a Lego brick.
Okay.
And however far they're able to push the Lego brick past the point of contact, it determines the rankings. And so it's just, it's fun watching, and it's like,
how do you think of these different things? That's so creative.
Yeah. And how do you have such serious yet amusing color commentary? And how do you build the track so it's level and fair to all competitors?
All the marbles.
Right. It's just, it's really creative and really fun. There's a New York Magazine article that I found, and I'm just going to read a quote from it. "The videos on a visceral level are transfixing. They balance on the razor's edge of gratifying and frustrating. Some races take place on long, elaborate tracks carved in sand or snow. Some happen on plastic toy tracks. Some races have no track, just an enormous funnel that a couple dozen spheroids circle for what seems like infinity. They are objects of pure physics and gravity with no human interference or conscious thought. When you bet on a marble race, you bet against the gods themselves."
Oh my God.
They interview Greg Woods, the color commentator. He said, "Even though it's without humans, we still see the same sort of stories that draw people to sports in general, where we see underdog stories and great comebacks and the push to be the best that you can be." He goes on, but basically, like, he ties this directly to sports fandom, and but only kind of the best aspects of it, where people can be really positive with each other and not be Patriots fans or whoever else you want to describe
it. It's funny you say that, because I'm thinking like, no, I totally get why the color commentary adds to the intrigue to such a large extent, because I'm, you know, big sports fan, in particular football. And I'm thinking about, like, you know, yes, an intense playoff game or championship game is fun enough on its own, but think about if it was absolutely silence. There's something that the crowd noise adds to it, mm-hmm. right? And the energy of the crowd. And even when the color commentators, I think of like when Chris Collinsworth gets so excited and it's just,
here's a guy.
Yeah. Here's a guy. And, I don't know. It adds so much to it. Sometimes it's annoying, right? When you're like, this commentator sucks. But a lot of times if you are rooting for a team and then you have the color commentator adding on this layer of excitement, it just builds and enhances your own excitement. So I totally get it why that would suck someone in.
Yeah, there's to exactly what you're saying. That same article interviews a random Twitter user who's a big fan of the marble runs, and he said it's really sort of a thrill to see a marble make a run to pass those marbles ahead of it. There seemed to be a group in the rallies that tended to perform better on average, and it wasn't long before I felt I had gotten to know them. And then he goes on to say, he's a fan of Red Number 3, specifically. He says, "It was pretty natural to become a fan of Red Number 3, especially following its rookie year, 2017, when it just missed the overall title and it seemed to run into sort of abandon." And then he goes on, this is where he really highlights what you were saying, and he says, "The fans are just incredibly good-natured and generous with their praise of other teams and their fans. That might be due in large part to the fact that there's no one to blame when a marble loses a race."
That's true, yeah.
And I think that's like one thing I saw consistently. There's a, like, in the community, there's a subreddit that has 38,000 people.
Holy shit.
There's and the subreddit is just full of people standing their teams, making like drawing art of the marbles as if they were people. One really clever...
Sorry, it just made me think. There is a bar in Seattle called Art Marble. Not sponsored by them, but you said Art Marble, and it made me think of the bar Art Marble, which, fun fact, tying it all together here, used to be the Patriots bar.
Yeah.
Back to you, Jordan.
Well, now that you've ruined it. But
wait, can we do the rest of this like as if you be the what's the opposite of the color commentator? Why can't I think of it?
Play-by-play.
You be the play-by-play, and I'll be the color commentator. Okay. All right. I'm channeling my color commentator. Got it. Go.
I have nothing for you.
I mean, just keep doing what you're doing.
Now I'm totally off what I was going to say. it's people who are having a lot of fun. The comments will say things like, "I'm amazed Marbly McMarbly Face is still competing after the injuries he suffered last season." And I don't know what that's in reference to, but people have this just like general sports discussion, but without the vitriol and without mm-hmm. some of the don't know, the worst parts of fandom that gets often associated with it.
Like, it allows you to be more objective, almost as if it's like a group game or something, or a group sport. What's the term I'm looking for when you play a game and there's not one winner, you're all trying to win together?
Cooperative.
Thank you. I don't know why I'm like blanking on, you know, half my vocabulary tonight, but it feels more cooperative, right? Because if you don't have, yeah, this built-in rivalry, it's just, you're all rooting for all the marbles.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. And
thank you.
Yeah. And it was just really enjoyable to, this is one of the ones of all the subcultures we've talked about, like, I was just having fun reading through the comments and things people were saying. And like, my favorite thing I think I saw was this very detailed anime style art that this person drew of multiple like famous marbles or marble teams. I'm unclear, but basically the way he envisioned it was the marbles were like capsules and someone would be inside driving them.
Okay.
So if you've met, like, in Jurassic Park, Jurassic World, there's the Chris Pratt first version of that. There's a scene where they're in like the sphere thing and driving away from dinosaurs that are trying to attack or whatever. But it's that same principle of like controlling the sphere as you go down. And I just love this idea that they've taken the personification of marbles to a literal ending of someone literally being inside the marbles driving them. And it was, it's just like, it's fun seeing people spend their time and energy in a way that like is inconsequential, but also just really enjoyable and fun that way.
Absolutely inconsequential, but very enjoyable, very fun. Everyone had a good time. I think we can all agree. How am I doing?
Today's podcast is brought to you by, that's one thing I would point out. It has drawn, like, so this is, it's obscure, but like it's drawn attention. John Oliver, the late
British guy.
Yeah, the British guy. What's his show called?
Late Night with John Oliver.
Last Week with John Oliver?
Sure.
Whatever. They sponsored the 2020 something. They sponsored one of the key events. Like,
really?
Literally, I think because I think they have those asides on the show where they're like, cut away in between segments and have some silly little thing they cover. And I think one of them was like the marble races. And so as a show of appreciation or whatever, they actually, they sponsored one of the events in 2020.
That's super cute. What does an event run them?
Sounds
pretty high production.
I don't know what the sponsorship costs are. It's probably less than the big game, but because we're not allowed to say Super Bowl. Whoops.
Really? Is that a thing? Oh, is it trademarked?
Yeah, that you can't advert. The NFL prevents people from advertising things using Super Bowl because it's trademarked. So if you ever go to a bar, they'll always advertise, we'll have the big game on the TV or any commercial on TV that isn't an official sponsor of the NFL. They'll say after the big game, we'll be, or things like that. Yeah.
God, that's dumb as fuck.
It is extremely dumb. You think the NFL would be just like happy to people to continue to say Super Bowl, but
no.
Yeah. Well, we don't have similar problems with Yella's marble runs. You can say any of their event names and no one seems to be upset because, again, it's just a lot of fun.
Sounds like it, Jordan. And that's what we came here for, was just a bunch of fun. Everyone left in good spirits. We had some winners, Brenna, some losers, Jordan. But I think we can all go home friends.
Back to you in the studio. And that's Yella's marble runs. If you'd like to tell us how you got into your favorite marble team and what keeps you a fan of them, you can reach us on Instagram at Subscurity Podcast. Our Twitter handle is at Subscurity Pod, and our website is subscurity.com. You can also email us directly at subscurity@gmail.com. Our intro and outro music is the instrumental of We're Better Together by Go Mordecai. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.